Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, depending on what time zone you are. Hello and welcome once again to Being Mindful right here on PHBC Radio with your hosts Maxine and Deji. What a beautiful day it is to be here with you. Thank you for joining us on the show. Being Mindful, if this is your first time, is that great radio show where we, Maxine and I, get together and we talk and we discuss and we explore issues that pertain to our quality of life as Christians. And these could be mental health issues, finance issues, political, current affairs issues, as well as, of course, spiritual issues. It's always good to have you here on the show with us. So thank you for joining us today on Being Mindful. Over the last couple of weeks, we have had as a topic positive parenting in the new normal. Positive parenting in the new normal, the P's there. And last week, sadly, on the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, we segued really and talked a little bit about her life because it was the right thing to do, and just honoring her, and but also looking at her life and her story as a parent. And so today we're going to continue along the vein, looking at parenting. And this topic, we're looking at it from various angles, from the child's angle, from the parent's angle. If you're new to the show, you want to join in the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Do just tap the link in the PHBC Radio app, the link that says contact the studio, or you can reach us via our social media handles at PHBC London. So, Maxine, once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. And I am excited, as usual, because, you know, whatever we talk about on the show is really thought-provoking. It's also enlightening. It's inspiring. It's encouraging,
yes,
you know, on so many levels. And so, yes, indeed, you know, we've been speaking about the Queen last week.
Yes.
And her, what almost seemed like a, you know, a sudden death, but obviously she was 96, so she did live an amazingly long and fruitful life. And so, yeah, you know, I have, me personally, Deji, I've been blown away by the tributes, the media coverage. You know, they've traveled around to so many different Commonwealth countries to, you know, report on her life and get testimonies about, you know, what she did for their country or for them as a person or people, group and so forth. And, you know, it was absolutely enlightening, you know, enlightening to see how she carried herself, how she presented herself and her country. You know, for many people, meeting the Queen was their first encounter of an English person, you know, a British person. And obviously, it, you know, it's brought about a greater awareness of United Kingdom. And so for me, like I said, I was blown away by the Queen. Truly, I can say, and I believe very strongly, that God's grace and God's favor rested on her from a very early age. And throughout her whole life, she was indeed a remarkable person.
There's so much evidence of this.
Yes.
So much evidence. It's impossible. I mean, okay. I want to just acknowledge something.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, especially if you live in the United Kingdom, if you live in Britain, if you live in London or England, it is impossible to get away from the news and the updates about what's going on.
Yeah.
This woman was not just an ordinary woman, the world's most powerful queen.
Yes.
She was queen over 2.5 billion people.
Wow.
54 countries, one third of the earth's population she reigned over. The world's most powerful queen.
Wow.
So it is impossible to get away from, you know, some people are thinking, oh, enough already. And I just want to say out there, just please be compassionate.
Mm.
She was somebody's mother, somebody's grandmother, you know, somebody's great-grandmother?
Yep, yep.
Great-grandmother.
Yep, yep.
And yep. more than that, she was the queen.
Yes.
Reigned faithfully, not just as queen, but also as a child, as a servant of God for 70 years.
Yes.
So let's just show a little bit of understanding.
Yeah.
As I said, she was queen over 2.5 billion people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, from the jump, from the get-go, we start to see those threads of faithfulness and spirituality in who she is and how she is.
Yeah.
You know, there came a point where you started to hear, when you heard her speak, particularly things like the Queen's speech or various things she would say, you start to realize that actually these, when she's talking about, oh, and my faith upholds me and these sorts of words, you're thinking, this isn't just some, you know, contrived speech, you know, to popularity thing.
Yeah. You know, truthfully, you know, 3 o'clock Christmas Day was a tradition.
Come on.
You know, we all, whether you liked the Queen, didn't like the Queen, made no difference. We all said, oh God, it's time for the Queen's speech.
Let's hear what she has to say.
Yeah, we heard what she, but I didn't realize how many times she actually alluded to her faith.
Yes.
And that's really blown me away.
Yeah.
She spoke about the Holy Spirit. She spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. She spoke about her faith. She calmed the nation. She was really the mother of United Kingdom.
75 years ago. Mm. And 75 years ago, she gave a speech. Right. She was 21 years old.
Mm.
And in that speech, she didn't even allude. She directly said, you know, my faith in God is going to help me, in this. And she was saying, listen, she was calling people who are listening to the speech to come along and journey with her in faith, by faith, with the hope that she will do well.
Mm.
And for me, one of the most powerful speeches I've heard, read, you know, I watched it and watched it and watched it. I've read it and read it. And it really impacted me.
Mm.
She was 21 when she gave that speech, you know.
Wow.
So again, as we've said, we did this last week. This woman was also a mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She was a mother.
Mm-hmm.
She was a wife. She was a mother. She parented her children in the way she knew.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to resonate with many people who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting your child in the way you know.
Yes, indeed.
You know.
Yes.
It's easy to point the finger at the queen and the royal family. Oh, they have this. They have that.
Yeah. No.
They don't. They're actually prisoners to the title.
Yes.
That's deep. These guys have never queued in McDonald's.
Mm.
You know, their experiences we've had, we will have, they will never have. When they go on holiday, there's no more than 20 people around them. They can't. You know, if King Charles decides he wants to go sit on a beach, they have to clear the entire beach.
Totally.
So the idea of being around people, atmosphere, the things. There are things we have experienced that they can only imagine. They can only watch themselves on YouTube.
Mm.
It'll never be their reality.
Mm.
So in truth, there are things both sides, the experience of life and who we are and what we have, we thank God for. Now, she parented her children in the way she knew. Yet, what makes that family different is the world was watching.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
And judging. And assessing.
Yes.
The world had an opinion compared to us parenting our children.
Yeah.
There are people who will speak to you, Maxine, about being a parent, being a mom. Do this, do that, don't do this, do that, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But nowhere near the multitude who will have an opinion about everything that goes on in that family.
Wow. Well, you know, we hear it all the time. She personified dignity. And I want to add to that, she loved. I know she was a woman of duty and she served, but she loved what she did.
Yeah.
She loved who she was in the point of she loved to serve. And that is so important for us to acknowledge.
I want to just tie this back to shows we did a few weeks back. She actually stepped into her actual purpose.
God, totally.
And because she stepped into purpose, there was a level of fulfillment that she got from it.
Yes, amen to that.
This was more than duty. She wasn't just doing the job.
Vocation.
Yes, yes. It was her calling.
It was her calling.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and I have to think about this. We could have had a horrible queen. The truth be told.
Dragon queen.
We could have had a should I say the word Jezebel, you know, who did not care. She could have, you know, brought about other religions. She could have done whatever.
And it
would have been detrimental.
To the spiritual stability of the nation.
Of this nation and the other nation, the other Commonwealth countries and so forth. So the fact that God kept her, that song that they sang, and now sing obviously for King Charles. If you look at the words of that song, God said every day, every time, every moment, they were proclaiming God's word over this woman.
Yeah.
All at the time. And for her she must have, I think about her in her private times, you know, she must have been saying, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. Had it not been for you, where would I be? If it wasn't for you, I couldn't do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's loop this back then to parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And the kinds of things that we've learned about when we look at that family, when we think about the families that God, well, our own families, you know, you're a parent, I'm a parent.
Mm.
When we think about the families around us, when we think about the styles of parenting, the modes of parenting, what we can learn, how we, you know, again, that scripture, the powerful, when you think parenting, you know, Bible verses on parenting, the most common one, or one of the most common ones, is train up a child in the way that it should go.
Yep.
So when he is old, he will not depart. You know, and I think that's really critical.
Mm.
So what are the things that we as parents can do? What, when we think about, again, and I don't want this show to be another sort of royalist show, because, you know, but we can't get away from it.
Yeah.
So, you know, sorry, we're just going to talk about her. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
But what can we draw in terms of, you know, lessons about parenting that we can use in our day to day where we are?
Yes. In terms of, I fully agree with you. As I was driving, you know, coming to be here today, I thought about the different dynamics of family, quote unquote. And so, yes, you know, we are dealing with families who are Christians, but may have 1, 2, 3, whatever number it may well be, siblings who are rebellious, who don't want to go the way of being at church. They don't want to do it.
Mm.
It could be a family who, or even a one-child family, where the child, or you know, is a teenager, and you know, has a drug habit, some kind of an addiction of some sort, whether it be drink, alcohol, pornography, whatever. We're talking about spiritual guardians, you know, because the court has ordered a family member or a close family member to be parent over a child that's not their own child, as it were, biologically. It could be a foster carer. There's so much things, you know, that's good. And I thought about, you know, let's deal with the realities. So what can we draw from, or you know, the qualities that we see from the Queen and her, on her style, if we can call it that? And I think it starts with humility. Start with yourself.
Parent humility on the part of the parent?
On the part of the parent. Because so often we look at the child should be this, the child should be that.
But the child is less than.
Yes, but the child doesn't know. The child doesn't know, actually, you're breaching this boundary point. The child doesn't realize that, actually, this is not good for me down the line. The child doesn't know that that one act could end their life in terms of you're going to prison.
They don't fully understand the consequences
of the right and the wrong, or the wrong company, or the wrong group, or the wrong decision, or the wrong. So from the parents' point of view, humbly say to God, you know, ask God for help. You can't ask God for help with an attitude of, well, I've done this and they should know, you know, that, it's not going to help.
An attitude of superiority.
It's not going to work. You need to be humble.
I think it's important, this, because children are quicker to learn what they see
absolutely
than what they're taught, than what they hear.
Yes.
And if they are treated with respect, if children are, you know, are treated with respect, then it is an inevitable that it is, that is the way that they are trained in, the way that they should go.
Yes, indeed.
They know no other life.
Yeah.
They wouldn't or should know no other life. At least, you know, yes, of course, there's external influences, friends, TV, media, school, you know. But the primary influence is the home. So if they're treated with respect, they learn how to receive and invariably give respect.
Right.
And because to do otherwise, to not children, to treat children with respect and expect, you know, there's no culture of humility and respect, because those are the two wings of the same bird, aren't they? The humility and respect, they work hand in hand. If there's no culture of that in the home or in the upbringing of the child, sooner or later that child is going to grow up selfish, self-centered, feeling entitled. You know, it's my right. I want it. So therefore.
And, you know, it's important to acknowledge you are the parent. We are the parent. A parent, I know things have changed along, you know, over the years, but a parent is an adult. And with that comes a responsibility, a mindset, a maturity. But the child is an infant, meaning they have an infant way of thinking, understanding, development even. They haven't fully, you know, we're getting on in age, you know, let's be real here. And I'm acknowledging that how I used to think even 5 years ago has changed now. Even how I thought 5 years ago has changed. And, you know, something you said there about respect, it's not only children who grow, but parents do too.
Wow.
It's not only children who grow, but parents do too.
That's a really important point, and it reminds me of something. You know, when we bring a child for a child dedication in the church, you know, one of the things that I often say, and I'm sure, and you know, I'm not the only one, I don't want to own it as if it's my copyrighted idea, often say is, this is actually more of a dedication for the parents than the child.
Right.
Because the child isn't saying jack. The child isn't committing to anything. It's the parents who are committing to raise that child in the ways of the Lord. So it's really, and I often say that, as much as we're calling it a child dedication, it's really the parents who are making the commitment here. And it's important. And so you're absolutely right in the point you just made.
It's very, I feel as if, yes, we could speak about, you know, do this for your child and hug your child and kiss your child and tell them, those things, all those things matter. We spoke, I think initially we spoke about the parenting style, helicopter tiger and so forth. All those things matter. But to build, let's start with the first brick.
Humility.
The first stone, humility.
That's a big one. Hey, if you are just joining us, you're listening to Being Mindful right here on PHBC Radio. We're going to have today we're talking about, just for the music break, we're talking about parenting and positive parenting in the new normal. Of course, we're trying to draw, as we did last week, examples from society, examples from Her Majesty the Queen, who died a week ago. But we're going to have listen to a piece of music. This is it's a great piece. As you know, on this show, hey, if you love jazz music, then PHBC Radio, particularly the Being Mindful show, is the one for you. If you love jazz music, there's always a jazz piece, yeah, isn't there, Max? So today we're going to listen to, this is a great guy, great guitarist. Is it guitar? Yeah, he plays, but then there's a sax element to his skill as well. The song is called I'll Never Forget by Tim Bowman. Wow, what a track, what a track. I'll Never Forget by Tim Bowman, one of the premier gospel jazz guitarists of our time. Welcome back. This is the Being Mindful show right here on PHBC Radio. Today we're talking about positive parenting, the new normal, and just drawing from various experiences. Before we went to the break, Maxine made a critical point that one of the most important primary characteristics for anyone, any parent, must be humility. And I agree with that, Maxine. But the question, there's a question that occurred to me, you know, and during the break, just mulling over, is what does that look like? Because oftentimes when we're saying to someone, be humble, is being humble being soft? Is being humble, does being humble mean you give in to everything? I don't know. What does that look like? What does that look like?
You know, if we gave in to everything, we'd cause more problems. So no, it's not that. I think the first, for me, it's like a little stepping stone.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's the first step. So it is being real with yourself, being right with God, acknowledging, you know, things you've struggled with within yourself. Try not to relive the things that you grew up with and sort of making excuses, but acknowledging, actually, I'm going to be humble first with myself and with God, obviously.
So, humility. If I say, as part of my being humble as a parent, is that, you know, my son says to me, my youngest son says to me, Daddy, yes? Where are we going? I'm driving you to school. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to learn how to drive. And I say, here are the keys. Have a go. You know, Daddy, I don't want to do my homework. Can I just play two games on the Nintendo? And I say, you know what? Don't worry about your homework. Play the Nintendo first. Isn't that humility?
No, not really.
Why not? But I'm being humble.
Humility, or, you know, having a humble heart, acknowledges God. Acknowledges you cannot do this on your own.
Okay.
Acknowledges that you need help from a higher source, if I can call it that, from El Elyon, the Most High God. Mm-hmm. Acknowledging that actually being a parent is a privilege. Being a parent, you're a steward of a child that God's given to you, yeah? So accountability. That accountability doesn't come first to you and your child. It's first you and God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And from there, you can build. What you're discussing, or sharing rather, is a relationship. Dad, can I have this? No, son, because. Dad, can I do this? Yes, son, or no, daughter, or whatever. That's relational.
Okay.
That's relational.
Okay.
The humility part is where your heart is positioned. It's where your mind is positioned. If you have this thing, well, I am the parent and what I say is always right. And I'm the Lord. Yes. Mm. The Bible says parents do not what?
Provoke.
Mm. Mm.
Come on now.
So at the end of the day, you know, I go back to this. If you're a parent, like I said, we started off talking about families who are so mixed, so dynamic, now. Because of different circumstances, prison, addiction, pornography, family breakdown, relationship breakdown, divorce, abuse, sexual abuse, so many things. And so these are real issues. So humility, the starting off with humility, says, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Father, I acknowledge your God, not me.
Mm.
The Bible says, ask. Philippians 4, let me read this quickly. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto who? Unto God. Unto God. Nobody can fix any part of our family relationships but God. And some things, you know, some things strengthen us, some things teach us, mature us, develop us. There's a whole lot of things that happen in our day-to-day lives. That's why I would say, ask God. Don't hide. Don't carry guilt. Don't be ashamed. Don't deny. Don't be in denial.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of denial going on in our families or our, you know, oh, how are you? Oh, I'm highly blessed and favored.
I'm blessed and highly favored and flavored.
Right. And things are going on.
What are you, a milkshake? Sorry.
There's things going on and we need to deal with the things. And first of all, I know we pray, but again, humility. Lord, if I've messed up, if I've had a mindset, if I've had a thought, lifestyle, children look at my child, your child, whatever, look at us, they see us. Nobody's saying we're going to be perfect here.
No.
And another part of humility means saying to your child at some point, this is new to me. I'm learning with you.
Yeah.
I'm growing too.
Yeah. And I think that's such a powerful point you've just made. A lot of parents do not ever. And I'm not saying, you know, hear my heart. I'm not saying stand completely naked before your child at all times. You're still the responsible one. Yeah. You're still the adult. You have to weigh the balance and make a sensitive decision on the sorts of things that their unformed or immature hearts can handle.
Mm-hmm.
Their immature minds, their immature spirits can handle. Mm-hmm. You've got to make a decision on that. Yeah. However, not a lot of parents absolutely, completely give off this aura, this impression that they're perfect, they don't make mistakes. We don't show our children our mistakes.
Yeah.
We don't discuss, we don't say, oh, well, you know, I did that, but, you know, I got it wrong.
Yes.
We don't show that to our children.
Yes. I want to give a very quick story testimony if I can.
Yeah.
My daughter started her new school. When I say new school, Amy, they moved into a new building, brand new building. That day we were going to school and I said to her, listen to your teacher, the usual things, you know, the usual prep talk in the mornings, as it were. And so I collected her in the afternoon, and the teacher came and said, oh, she found my daughter had put chewing gum underneath the table. And I was like, oh my, I completely lost it. I was like, oh my God, how could you do this? And the whole time, my daughter didn't say a word. I'm looking at her like, oh my God, how can you do this? Why did you do that? You know. And she had this straight face. All the way home, she said nothing. She just looked at me. And I just thought, what's wrong with this child? But the thing is, I was having a meltdown. I got home and I was still having a meltdown. And I said, okay, let me calm down. So I calmed down eventually. And so I said to her, come, tell me what happened. Share with me what happened, because I always say to her, don't eat in school and so forth. And she calmly said, this is what happened. I never even had chewing gum.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. I never had chewing gum. And I said, but why did, how did, you know, the usual.
Yeah.
And she explained that actually it was her friend who had the chewing gum, and her friend said to her, will you take the blame rather.
Yes.
And I realized my behavior. I lost it. My child was taking me, listening to me screaming at her, but she was innocent.
She
and
was
I believed
covering
her.
For her friend.
And you know what the truth be, Deji? I believed her.
Yeah.
I didn't, there was no doubt in my mind she was telling me the truth. Because of how she conducted herself the whole time. I, on the other hand, realized my behavior was like, oh my goodness. And I said to her, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize. Forgive
Powerful.
Me. And I said it, forgive me. Powerful. Sometimes you've got to use them words. Yes. Forgive me. Yes. I messed up. Yes. I did not know. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And so I said, okay, Lord, what do I do? Next day, I said, okay, I will tell the child's mother, meet me at the school. We need to address this matter.
Yeah.
I got to the school and I said to the teacher, I apologize in front of my daughter. Because you remember, again,
the teacher was present then.
The teacher was present and the teacher was expecting me to say, yes, do this and that, and allow this, you know, child to be in detention or whatever. But the moment I said, actually, my daughter told me this, hear what the teacher said to me. The teacher said to me, oh, it was, I said to her, you need to find, no, she said to me, actually, it happened last week. Exactly. So I said, hold on, why are you only telling me now? At that point, I realized it was definitely the truth that my daughter was telling me. Then I said to the teacher, who was sitting at that table last week. Godspeed to that parent. Have a nice day. I hugged my daughter. I said, have a lovely, lovely day. And I walked off. I went to work. But I'm saying the point is that sometimes we are not listening. Mm-hmm. We're not understanding. And we're just having our own meltdown. But I used the words, I'm sorry. I lost it. I apologize. Forgive me.
And I think it's important that we don't project our stuff on our children.
It's hard, though.
Please, of course.
It's hard. The world is so demanding.
Yeah.
There's so much things, you know, pulling at us time. And it's a deep one.
Let me read this.
Yeah.
We had a message. We've had a message from one of our listeners. Mm-hmm. Really enjoying the show. Great tips, great advice, great information to take on board. And said, are we able to think about positive parenting, particularly around teenagers? Mm. You know, your daughter's kind of that age now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, secondary school, sticking chewing gum under desks. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Possibly around teenagers, around young adults. You know, mm-hmm. sort of your 12, 13-ish to yep. about your yep. 17, 18-ish.
Yep.
You know, where all of a sudden they want to wear the makeup, they mm-hmm. want to wear the heels.
Yep.
You know, they think they have the answers, mm-hmm. you know, because Sir said it mm-hmm. and they've processed it in their minds mm-hmm. and they know better than us. Hold on. Mm-hmm. The way we knew better than our parents. Yes, but let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that. Because we actually still know better than our parents, really. mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, so in the sense of talking about looking at this from the perspective of children who are not so much the sort of innocent little cherubs, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking about perhaps children who are smoking, who are drinking, mm-hmm. who are addicted to yep. this, that, and the other yep. thing, mm-hmm. you know, how do we remain humble with that kind of behavior when your teenage child mm-hmm. is no longer the child that you are physically looking down on because mm-hmm.
yep,
they're small.
Overtiring you.
Hey, listen. I mean, you've got a daughter. Your daughter's taking your eyeliner.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're telling her what's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Mm-hmm. And she's looking eyeball mm-hmm. to eyeball mm-hmm. at you. You're mm-hmm. the same height. You wear mm-hmm. the same shoe mm-hmm. size.
Oh my gosh.
What do you do then?
This is to come. You know, engage is so important. Talk to, share. You know, you have to build relationship. You have to build trust. You have to build respect. You have to build patience. You have to build all the things that, you know, it's like going to work and having to interact with your work colleagues. It's the same. But they live in your house. You see them in the morning, exactly. You see them in the afternoon.
And you have to cook for them.
And you got to cook for them and clean, possibly.
Hey.
And you know, and at times, we spoke about, you know, I think some weeks back, we spoke about sharing, you know, hot desking.
Yes.
It's the same.
Yeah.
But it happens to be in our own home. We're more tolerable of those in the workplace than we are those in our own home. And that's where it's got to change. That sense of, yes, I carried you. Yes, I nursed you. Yes, I whatever. But it's a different way of developing. That's why I said children are growing, but so are adults. So are the parents.
I think this is a really important point. As you know, I've got four adult children.
Mm-hmm.
And my children have their own ringtone in my phone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I know. It's one of my children. Awesome. It's a priority ringtone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It will come through.
Yes.
You know.
Yes,
so I hear that ringtone. I'm like, yeah, it's my child calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, straight away. I don't need to think about it. I just know it's my child calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. And in doing that for them.
Yeah.
It helps them recognize that, oh, okay. I'm not just any child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just any person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just any human being. Mm-hmm. I'm not just any number in his
mm-hmm.
phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that setting them apart
yeah.
kind of thing.
Very important.
But in this whole in what you were saying there's got to be patience, there's got to be respect, there's mm-hmm. got to be humility. There were a couple mm-hmm. of other mm-hmm. qualities there. Mm-hmm. I think it is important. Let me use this word. We've also got to be friendly mm-hmm. with our child mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. whilst recognizing we are not their friend.
Totally agree.
We can be friendly, but we are not their friend.
Yes, I agree.
We can be pally, but we're not their pal.
Yes.
You know?
They must know you. We are their parent.
Yes.
We are their safe place.
Absolutely.
No matter how bad things have got, how bad, you know, maybe you're a parent and you're visiting your child in prison.
Mm.
Maybe you're a parent and you're having to be constantly at the other end of the phone because, you know, you're dealing with a legal matter.
Yeah.
Maybe you're the, whatever it is, maybe you're the parent and your child is or has been made a special guardian.
Mm. From has been
given the order of it.
Yes.
Maybe there's so much things. The reality, being a Christian doesn't mean that things are picture perfect suddenly. No, in fact, sometimes it can be worse. But what is important is no matter how things get bad, the child must know you're always there. Because that child still lives by a boundary. And that child still needs boundary. And at some point, it's at the point of some point, the child will recognize, Mom, Dad, I needed this.
And it's important we do these things with courage.
Yes.
As parents.
Yes. That's
we need to be courageous.
Yes.
As brave. Parents. Yeah. Be brave about it and step out there.
Yeah.
And I said that because I want to do that as a link to the song that we're going to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very well-known worship song, but this cover is by Josh Garrels with the great, 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 great song, No Longer Slaves.
Mm.
So we'll be back right after this.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. And I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child. We've been living, but I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God. No longer slaves. I am a child of God. What a beautiful version by Josh Garrels. Thank you for being with us today. You are listening to the Being Mindful show on PHBC Radio. And today we're talking about positive parenting in the new normal. Just been talking before we had the break, the music break, about what to do or how to do when we're dealing with your teens, your preteens, your post-teens, and some of the issues that they will display. And we were talking even during the break about how sometimes they come across as rude. You know, you're seeing in their developmental stages, it's like they're being rude. You know, it's like your hearing is like, you're chatting back to me. Who are you talk? Come over here. Come and say that. Come right here. Come closer. you just want to say, come closer and say it again. Don't you? But the truth of it is, it's part of their development.
Yes.
And particularly in that sort of teen, adolescent, you know, there's hormones blazing physically, emotionally, mentally. They're changing, they're morphing. And we want them to grow into, let me say, self-governing.
Yeah.
The highest form of government is self-government.
Yeah,
we want them to grow into self-governing adults. But to do that, they've got to make some mistakes.
Absolutely.
With where the boundaries are.
Yeah.
So sometimes they'll push it. They'll test it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll do the whole, they'll be a bit of chat back and they're like, okay, what happened there? What's going to, because they're trying to figure out what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And sometimes that look, that change of tone, they're like, slow down, lift off the gas. Sometimes they need to categorically be told, you need to step yourself back. And I think that's really, really important for us to remember. As we journey through, particularly, I mean, the teenage years are I can tell you my experience. The teenage years are, they're tricky. You know, you grew up with your child, fully dependent on you. Everything mummy, everything mummy, everything mummy, or daddy, right? Everything mummy, everything daddy. And then they get to a point where it's not about mummy and daddy anymore. It's about Chloe. And Michael and Jamie and their friends. And then after what, it's no longer about that. Even they go into the teenage years where it's about themselves. They sort of retreat inward. They're just moody, broody, don't want to say nothing, you know. You'll ask them a 23 word question and all you get, you don't even get a yes or a no. You get a grunt. Okay. you get a grunt and you're like, what was that? But I answered you, innit? No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. It's like, what are you saying?
Wow, help us, Lord.
But you know, I was reading somewhere about the psychology of that. That by the time a child gets to the teen years, the psychology of it is that they've heard the parental voice so much that the parental voice fades into the background of their.
Okay, yes. Interesting.
Yes, they've heard it so much, it fades into the background of their consciousness.
Right, okay.
Particularly if we're coming at them the way we've always come at them.
Right.
Particularly if we're approaching and talking the way we've always done it.
Okay.
What happens, you know, it's like when you're in a supermarket, you might walk in and think, oh my gosh, that's my favorite song. 30 seconds after you thought it's your favorite song, you're thinking about your cucumber, your oranges, your onions, you completely forget that song's there. It fades into the background. In the same way, the parental voice fades in. And that's why sometimes it looks like teenagers aren't listening. Because truly, psychologically, they're actually not listening. Because it's fade. They don't even know that voice has faded into the background.
Wow. That is deep. This is why it's so key that as a parent, whether you're a single parent, whether you are still, you know, a married couple, whether you're a blended family or whatever, you know, whatever it may well be, this is why it's so important to understand, you know, I think sometimes as adults we think, oh, well, you know, I've done it, I don't need to know anything more. But the truth is, actually, there's things that we just don't know that could help us.
Yeah.
And actually, when I said earlier on, ask, or pray, or put forth your petition, your supplication, it still means also ask, read, study, ask questions. You know, we don't consider the psychology of a person, because we're always only thinking about ourselves.
Yeah.
First and foremost, we're not thinking about how, you know, culture, school environment, media, whatever it is, you know, shapes the way how we think. And so, yeah, that's very interesting to think that, because I'm sort of learned, like I said, I'm more aware now of the developmental stages. When you have a newborn, they say, you know, 3 months is this and 6 months is that, yeah, and 1 year, yeah, is this, and da-da-da, you got your little red book, you got to get it signed off and whatever. You know, you have the midwife who comes and does this for you and that for you. So you take, you know, you keep track.
Yes.
You keep track. But when it comes to, as you said, the teenage years, it's like we forget,
yeah,
or we shut it, yes, shut down, you know, shut the door and shut down the computer, turn it all off, turn the lights off, and just forget everything. No, actually, we need to continue parenting with intention, being effective, because what we sow, we're going to reap.
And I think it's so critical in what you're saying, because typically you've been doing that thing for 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. For goodness sake, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No. They've heard what you're saying,
yes,
but they're knowing it differently.
Yes.
And we'll see our 14-year-old who's, you know, 5'7".
Mm.
And somewhere in our brains, we think we're talking to an adult.
Mm.
No, you're still talking to a child.
Yes, so true.
They may be 5'7", 5'10".
Yeah.
You're still, they may be 6'1".
Yes.
You're still talking to a child.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on for them physiologically,
yes,
psychologically, hormonally, emotionally, they are still a child.
Mm.
And I think, I think, particularly with the advent of media,
mm-hmm,
you know, you look at the stuff that's out there now, the way things are marketed for mm-hmm children,
mm-hmm,
the way boys dress, the way girls dress, mm-hmm, the music that's listened to, the practices, the mm-hmm habits, the friendships, mm-hmm, the conversations,
mm-hmm,
the things they're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And fine, yes, because of evolution of humanity, you know, our children today are coping with way more information than 5, 6, 10 generations ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, and they can handle that
mm
because we're much more advanced as human beings on Earth,
mm-hmm,
and certainly in our modern societies,
mm-hmm,
they can handle it. It still doesn't make them
an adult.
No,
they need to continue, be, you know, respectfully being treated as an adult, sorry, a child rather. You know, I was thinking about how when they want to express themselves,
mm,
and, you know, they want to be heard.
Yeah, yeah.
Not lectured.
Mm.
They
yeah
want to be heard just because they want to be heard.
Even if they're wrong.
Even if they're wrong. And if they are wrong, I'm learning this for myself again, not to be so quick to cut them off halfway, because it's part of their expression, their need to express. So I'll go back again, as you know, to the parent, don't feel like you've got to get this all right.
Mm.
Don't feel like you should know this. Don't feel like you're being judged. Don't feel like, well, you've made a mistake. Don't, you know, you're the fault, you're the reason for. No, it's humility. Start again, start fresh, start where you're at.
Journey together with your child. Let your child journey
so
with you,
because
they will respect you more seeing you journeying and learning and growing than for your arrogance and pride pretending you have all the answers when they can jolly well see that you don't.
Yes.
You know, they're exposed to information, they're exposed to culture, mm-hmm, they're exposed to these things. And there was a tip that I gave to somebody once, and I said, when your child hits a particular age, and when I say age, I'm not talking numbers, you know, 12, 11, 13,
right,
no, a particular stage in their development,
mm-hmm,
you correct them not with instruction,
mm-hmm,
with questions.
Yes.
You use
yes.
questions.
Yes.
So yes. they you ask them to wash the dishes. You went to, you know, it's holiday season. You went to, you know, summer holidays. You went to work. You came back at 4:30. And the breakfast bowl mm-hmm. and the lunch plate are mm-hmm. still in the sink.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Are you deaf? Mm-hmm. That's not that kind of question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you take the approach of saying,
mm-hmm.
how do you think that makes me feel? For yes. example.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Don't say, should you have washed it? Mm-hmm. They know that. Mm-hmm. Don't talk down to you. Come on. Mm-hmm. You didn't raise a dum-dum.
Mm-hmm.
They know they should have washed it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that makes me feel? I've been out to work all day. I come back. How do you think that makes me
yeah.
feel? So
yeah.
those kind of questions, explore. Like, you know, you were talking about how often we're much more civil mm-hmm. to people we don't know.
Workplace.
We're civil to people in the workplace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we forget to bring that civility home.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, we take our children for granted.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, going back to the plates thing or the tidying up of the room or whatever,
mm.
you know, sometimes do it with them.
Yeah.
Because yeah. you're building relationship.
Yeah.
The media, the society we're in is trying its best. The adversary is trying to raise our children without us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so we yeah. have to be yeah. like, you know what? Let's cook together. My daughter loves to bake.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And so the other day I'm on my laptop doing my work and she is in the kitchen baking.
Beautiful.
And she calls me and says, oh, mommy, can I put this in the oven? And I'm thinking, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, you know what? This is what she loves to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, you know what? Let's do this together. Even if all I do is stand there and let her do it herself, but I'm in her company and we're talking and we're sharing about all kinds of things.
I love what you just said. It's not something I've ever done,
mm-hmm.
but I just picked up on that.
Yeah.
You're 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Their bedroom's untidy. I'm not saying do it for them.
Yes,
because
yes,
that's
yes,
not
yes,
that's
yes,
not
yes,
healthy.
Yes, yes, I'm with you.
But that opportunity to say, you know what, come, I'll do it with you today.
Yes,
is an opportunity for a conversation.
Absolutely.
So your purpose is not actually to tidy the room.
Yes, yes.
Your purpose is to have a conversation. Your purpose is to
yes.
say, let's talk.
Yes. How's things
but happening? Over shared activity, mm. isn't it amazing the kind of stuff you can talk about?
Yes. Yes. And also very, very key, you know, is, like I said, look back as a parent, whatever age you may well be,
mm.
look back and think, what did you want looking back now? What would you have liked but never had?
Mm.
And I'm not saying try to model it in your own child.
Yeah, live your dreams through your child.
No, I don't mean that respect. But what I mean is, we often hear, for example, you know, of a certain age group, my mum, my dad never hugged me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
they never
mm-hmm.
showed love. They never
yeah.
told us that they loved
yes.
us. They cared or kissed us or whatever. So intentionally,
ensure
once a week, if possible,
mm-hmm.
have that time where you go out together.
Yeah.
Go for a walk, go for a yeah. stroll, go for a meal, go for breakfast.
Yeah.
Go and get a sandwich or whatever. But try to do those little moments of sharing love.
Yeah.
Sharing your time, sharing you, because most of the time that's what kids want. They want to have somewhere, someone, some moment where they can come back and sit down and say, mom, today was horrible, dad, oh my god, did you know?
Let me tell you what Corey did today, and he got detention and I nearly got detention.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad. Do you remember the other day when we were tidying my room?
Yep.
And
come on
you
now.
Said blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered it, and Corey was, and I was trying to warn Corey,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, nah, I'm just doing it, and
mm-hmm.
then look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
an opportunity for
it's
that.
An opportunity. And when they're not at home for whatever reason, use that time. Remember the first stone, pebble, if we're going to call it pebble, you know, humility between you and God, restoring that.
Mm.
The next thing is proclamation.
Mm.
Speak into their room. Speak over their clothes. Speak over them what God says about them.
And with that, we come to the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining us again on this show, on Being Mindful. It is a joy to have you with us. Listen, join us again next week. We will continue to deal with this topic. I think maybe next week, we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah,
we'll do it again next. We'll bring it again one more time next week. Thank you for those who sent your questions in. We hope we did them justice. And as always, it's a blessing to have you with us. And until the next show, we say thank you for listening and God bless you.